we've been, as you know, as many of you know, if you've been here the last few weeks, we've been in this series on the Psalms. We're looking at different types of Psalms that are in. We're not getting through all of them. Obviously, there's a lot, but we're looking at, we've grouped them into seven different categories and spending each week to kind of look at one of those Psalms and just understand it a little better. So far, we've walked through the Psalms where there's wisdom, where it provides wisdom for us. There's Psalms of worship. And then last week, there were Psalms of what? What kind of Psalms were they? Imprecatory, right? It's just fun. It's fun. Let's just say it. Ready? Imprecatory. I just say it. I'm brushing my teeth. I spit out the imprecatory. It just comes out. It's just fun, right? Imprecatory. And some of us really, I think, identified it. I think it helped some of us to understand when we want God to do something. We want God to respond to evil. And then there's a space for that. There's a way to pray about that. And it's acceptable. And so we've walked through those three types. And today we're going to go into looking at the Psalms of Thanksgiving. Psalms of Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving, you know, for probably for most of us, you know, we automatically go to that third Thursday of the month in November. And you know, we celebrate a holiday called Thanksgiving. And in our house, I know we try, I think we do it pretty consistently, but perhaps you do something similar. But when you sit down at the table, and it's kind of a test, right? Like you have all the food there, but you have to go around the table. Everybody has to share something they're thankful for. And without fail, usually it's one person's just like, well, I'm thankful for the food we're about to eat, if we can just get to that point. But, you know, the idea is that if we stop and we pause, we all can be thankful for something this morning. We can all be thankful even when we're sitting around that table. We can be thankful for something this morning, regardless of what season we find ourselves in. And too often, and, you know, I think for a lot of us, it's this, we've got to slow ourselves down. We've got to make space sometimes. And if we sit, and I appreciate what Pastor Rob is with those journals and everything, it's pausing, it's spending some time, it's spending time with God, but it's also spending time just to be with our thoughts and to understand. And I think it's really good just to pause and find something to be thankful for. Actually, there's scientific evidence, right? Scientific evidence that confirms what the Bible already teaches. And listen to this, that joy and peace are the result of thankfulness. Joy and peace are the result of thankfulness. One priest, he put it this way. He says, it's not joy that makes us grateful. It's gratitude that makes us joyful. It's not joy that makes us grateful. It's gratitude that makes us joyful. And that one I had to stop with for a second, right? Because we can have, you know, the joy of the Lord is present even in grief, even in sorrow. You know, this season that we find ourselves in as a family and even as a church, there's even in those moments where things are hard, there can still be joy. But then when I read this, but there has to be a heart of gratitude really for that joy to come in. And when you're in a season of challenge and you're in that trial and you're in the throes of it all, in the darkness, so to speak, it's really hard to find something to be thankful for, isn't it? But there is something significant, even in those places, even in those difficult seasons, when we can make space for just a moment, even with our thoughts and in all the stuff that's crashing in, and say, God, I am thankful. I am thankful for the breath in my lungs today. God, I'm thankful for the strength that you give me. I'm thankful for the fact that you do not abandon me even in the depths of sorrow. So while it may be a season of pain or hurt or all of that happening at the same time, we can still be thankful, not for what's happening necessarily, but for God and his faithfulness. And then in that place, we experience the joy of the Lord. And so today, I want us to dial in, because this is much more than, like, you know, somebody gives you, you know, some change or somebody maybe opens a door and you say thank you. No, we're talking about a depth of gratitude. This is something much deeper. And so I want us to really kind of start from that place. This is not just a, hey, thanks, high five, thank you. No, this is thank you. And so the big idea that we're going to dial in on this morning is that as we look through the Psalms, we can see chapters of true thanksgiving that flow from a heart that has encountered the goodness of God, where it has to respond with praise, trust, and testimony. You see, when we come here and we gather on Sunday mornings, when we lift our voices in song, and again, sometimes if I'm not careful, it can be the motions. It can come from here and just out here rather than an overflow of what's in here. This is one of the things that we've been encouraging is, you know, as we, before the service, whatever it is, whether it's in here or on your way, but just try to prepare your hearts to worship so that when you come in, you can be like, yes, I can't wait to get here. Because I just want to worship the Lord with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so throughout the Psalms, there are many examples. A few is Psalms 18, 30, 32, Psalm 34, Psalm 116, Psalm 118. Did you guys get all those? That's why you got to go back and watch the sermon later so it really takes hold and you can take notes. But that's just to name a few, and we're going to dial in on Psalm 34 this morning. And as we do, I kind of want to set the stage a little bit of what we're looking at here on Psalm 34. David is writing this psalm, Psalm 34, if you have your Bibles. And if you get time to go back at some point, you can research this a little more, but it's speaking of a time that you'll find in 1 Samuel 21, okay? 1 Samuel 21, that sets sort of the tone, and you understand where this psalm is coming from. But what's happening, I'll give you a brief snapshot of it. But in his flight, when David was being chased by King Saul, David sought refuge with the Philistine king of Gath, whose name was Achish. Now listen, I don't know if you're a Bible scholar just a little bit, you may start recognizing some of these places and these names, right? Perhaps one of David's greatest moments was he went out to face a giant. And guess what people that giant was with? The Philistines. Guess where Goliath was from? Gath. So here's a very interesting scene after that whole thing. And he had struck down their champion and victory was theirs. And now he ends up in the same town that Goliath was from, in front of the king of that town or that city. And so David rolls up in there thinking like, hey, well, maybe, well, again, he's on the run from King Saul. So he's in the town hanging with the Philistines and trying to blend in. And it doesn't take long, you know, people start to say, I think that's the guy. I think that's the guy that took the head off of our champion. And so David starts to sense this, and so he does a noble thing. Right, he had this moment where he took the head of Goliath, and so David here, you know, because he's starting to become a little concerned about the fact that, I mean, the king is now looking at him, and he might realize who he is. So David stands up and he pretends to be crazy, complete with marking on the doorways of the gate and drooling all over his beard. Right, the champion taking down their Goliath, you know. Here's King David, well, we'll be King David. And here he is now, drooling all over himself, acting like a crazy man. Pretty noble, huh? The truth is, well, the trick worked. The king and the way they saw and they believed for people that were kind of had lost their minds, they just sort of let them go on their way. They didn't want to have to deal with them. So David sold it really well. And while this was not the greatest moment of David's life, he did learn a few things, and one of those things is thankfulness, and he gives credit to the Lord for his survival. So, you know, whether it is the Lord gave him the ability for the performance he put on, but more than that, I think he's you're going to see he's crediting the Lord for his faithfulness to bring him out of those places in that danger. And so we understand, and the whole premise of this series is that we can use the Psalms as structure for our prayers. And as we look at Psalm 34 this morning and what David is writing, We're reminded that we can pray through these psalms of thanksgiving, and through that, they can fuel our prayers. They give us the biblical understanding, and they kindle the words, if you will, to speak to God when we need help getting to a place of authentic gratitude. Because if we're struggling, and if you're struggling this morning, and as I told you, you know, we need to find those things to be thankful for, but all the time, we should go to the Word of God. That's what will encourage us. That's what will steer and guide us. And so Psalm 34, one last thing to note before we jump into to verse 1 here, is it is once again, if you recall Lamentations, this also is laid out in an acrostic poem. So you'll notice the 22 verses, each with corresponding with the letter from the Hebrew alphabet. There is a little bit of nuances at the end, but I'm not going to get into all that right now. But just understand that there is that structure once again. And so Psalm 34, let's begin in verse 1. If you're there, if not, it'll be up on the screen here for you. Psalm 34, beginning verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord, what? At all times. Do you know what the Hebrew word, the term there, all, means in our language? All. It means all. Just stick around. It's only going to get better, okay? It means all. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So we'll pause there, and let's kind of unpack just a little bit. As we look at this first point of that I want to dial in on is this. It's praise is the posture of the grateful. Praise is the posture of the grateful. As I've been saying already, you know, when we are truly grateful, praise should be our natural posture. And gratefulness really only comes in looking back. It's not necessarily in the moment that something is happening, is it? Because there are times and there are things that will happen in our life when we're going through them, it does not seem enjoyable. It does not seem like this is something good. It does not seem like there's, you know, hope maybe even sometimes of what's to come. And sometimes we literally just need the strength for the next step. We need the strength for that day. And day passes day by day, step by step, and pretty soon we get down the road. And if for I would say all of us, if we look back on our life, we get that perspective. We've gained some distance. We've experienced some things, and we can look back and we can see where God's hand has sustained us, can't we? God has never left us. He has been with us. And so from that place and from that perspective, while when we were going through it, we could not see, when we look back, we see, okay, Lord, I see you. And if some of you are struggling this morning, the fact that you are sitting here this morning with breath in your lungs is a testament that God has been with you and sustained you through your life. And so here David begins with this declaration of continual praise, even amid his hardships. Remember that this was penned after escaping from this situation with the Philistines. He's in this moment, and he's on the run. And yet he is sitting, he begins, his first thing is, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times that it is challenging, isn't it? We're going through the depths of everything, and your waist, maybe some of us are neck deep in the junk and the stuff that life can throw at us. And I know for myself, my first response, as much as I would love to stand up here and say, yeah, the first thing I go to is I want to praise the Lord for this pain. But David here is reminding us that this is where we should be. This is, while not perfect, this is what we should be. And we need to come back to this often. I mean, for that praise should continually be in our mouth. that we should constantly be worshiping the Lord. And so, you know, I encourage us this morning that that's always, like, if you're driving down the road, you know, just worship the Lord. If you have a few minutes between meetings, just step back for a couple minutes and say, Lord, I worship you. Thank you. Thank you for just being with me today. Thank you for giving me wisdom. And I worship you for who you are, that you are God. Because the reality is that Thanksgiving, the biblical kind of Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving we're talking about, it is not circumstantial, okay? Instead, it's based from a covenant with the Lord. And praise God for that, right? Because you know why? Because God is faithful. He is the one who signed on the line, not us. We are the ones that fail all the time. We are the ones that continually do all we can to break the covenant, but we can't because God is the one who paid the price. And praise God that it depends on him. And so because we have that relationship, because we have that promise, because we know that God is with us and that God will not break his promise, therefore we can offer Thanksgiving. We can be in a position or a posture of gratitude, being grateful. It's anchored in God. But here's the deal. It's not just anchored in what he does. It is anchored in who he is. And this is where we can get off course a little bit, right? God, I've served you. I've been faithful. I've done this. I've done that. I've done all these things. And whether we say it out loud or not, there's an expectation that God is going to therefore do this, this, and this. And when it doesn't go that way, when it doesn't go the way that we think it should, we can easily pivot. Say, well, God, you didn't hold up your end of the deal. But let me just say, we are not the ones making the terms of this deal. God is present. God is God. And that's why we can trust that this covenant that we have with him, because it's our Thanksgiving, all of this that's wrapped up, it's anchored in God, not in our circumstances, because our circumstances change constantly. And that's why we can offer Thanksgiving. Paul writes in his first letter to the church in Thessalonica, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, he says that we should rejoice always. Do you ever stop and think that the Bible is true? Rejoice always? That's what it says. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So if some of you are like, well, that was Old Testament. Well, guess what? We just got New Testament, so we're on the hook. But I know that it's not always easy, but it's possible, and we need to come back to that place and be encouraged by the Word of God. So praise is the posture of the grateful. Next one. Let's continue now with verse 4, Psalm 34, verses 4 through 8. So you're going to see this volley here between statements. He's going to make a statement about himself, and then he's going to make like an application to the people in front of him, and it kind of volleys back and forth. And so verse 4 there says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Statement. Now to those. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. He goes back to himself. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And now to others. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Who does the angel of the Lord encamp around? Those who what? Who fear him. Who reverence him. And then it finishes in verse 8. He says, and this is probably a very familiar passage for a lot of us. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And so we see this, and you're going to hear this fearing, the fears that he has, the man-made fears or the fear of man, but also fearing God. And you're going to see this contrast as we continue through these next few verses. But let's pull off for a moment to our second point here, and that is this. It's trust is the fruit of thankfulness. Okay, so we talked about posture. Now we're going to go to trust is the fruit of thankfulness. If you think about fruit is produced or it's not, right? Orange tree doesn't, you don't plant it, and then the orange tree's like, man, I hope I produce fruit. It produces it. It's what's in it. It comes out. And here's this expression, again, if you think about it, I mean, we're familiar. This is a very familiar passage, but David invites us to taste and see. Taste and see. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to eat, okay? Thank you for your... He's like, yeah, we can tell. It's... But let me take it a little bit further. I like to eat good food. And, you know, as I thought about this is probably where I spent the most time preparing for today, was thinking about what to eat and what I like to eat. But I like to eat good food. And we just went out the other night to a Korean barbecue place. It was amazing. Awesome. Thank you, friends. And then I started thinking about, you know, I think I like just about anything that has barbecue on it, right? Our South African friends, they call it a braai, but it's a barbecue, and I love that food too. And so anything that's barbecued, I think, is good. And I don't know if you agree, but, you know, I'm usually it's a safe place for me. If there's barbecue, it's going to be all right. Well, have you ever stopped to think about that God could have designed us where just eating was just an act of to sustain life, where there's no taste? There's no pleasure. It's just, kind of reminds me of being in the military and some of the things that we had to eat. You just like, well, I got to sustain my life and keep it going, so I'm going to just eat whatever they're serving. Just turn the lights off so I can't see it. But isn't it so much better, though, when there's just good food? Don't you have an appreciation for that? It's just enjoyable. And I, you know, to stop and to think that God made us that way, that we can taste food. And do you know that some of what's tied to that is also, you can eat the same dish, but how it's presented? And when you get something put in front of you and it's all just laid out and it has the garnish and those things that really don't do anything, but it's just for looks sprinkled on top, it doesn't really, but it's the presentation matters, doesn't it? That's part of where we start to enjoy. And so now with that kind of in our mind, now that you guys are like, okay, you need to wrap this up, we got to eat lunch. But taste and see, it invites what? It invites an intimate experience with Jesus, with God. Another way to say it is it invites us into relationship with God. The reason that Jesus was sent to earth to die on the cross was not to create religion. It was intended to create relationship once again with our Creator. And it's astounding to me that I meet people that have even been in the church a lot of their life, and they still have not experienced the sweetness of relationship with God. They have yet to taste and see that the Lord is good. You see, we can't get that secondhand from somebody else. You see something on somebody else's plate, they can try to describe it, they can try to do their best to explain it. You know, you watch these cooking shows and they're describing the dish and everything, you're like, I don't care, just let me, and so what do? You go make it because you want to taste and see that it is good. I'm just trying to think if I'm going to say this or not. I'm going to go ahead and say this. It's not in my notes, but as I'm just explaining that, I just wonder, as people are watching us, how we're describing our relationship with Jesus. Much like you watch those food shows and the presentation as they're describing, and what does it do? It's enticing you. It's making you like lean in, like, I want that. And does our life reflect Jesus in a relationship with him in such a way that it's saying to someone else, I want to lean in, I want to experience what you have? Taste and see. And David, again, he reminds us, he invites us, he says to take refuge in him, the man who takes refuge in the Lord. He thanks God for deliverance and calls others to trust and experience God personally. Remember what David is described as? A man after what? Right? David knew the Lord. He blew it so many times, right? I mean, the guy's drooling on himself, acting a fool. There's another, blew it there too. David is a living example, or he was a living example of how God is faithful and we are not. Yet somehow God always came back around. Why? Because he saw the heart that David had. See, gratitude deepens trust. It reminds us of past faithfulness, and it fuels present confidence. Okay? When we look back and we've tasted and seen, we can trust the Lord. We remind ourselves that even in the situation now, even when things are uncertain, when things are hard, if we look back, we can remember. And this, I love what Pastor Rob said, that, you know, writing things down. That's the beautiful part of journaling. It's we can go back and look like, oh, I remember. This is when I didn't know what was going to happen next, and now I can look back and see that God, he brought us through. He brought me through. So we must trust the Lord. It's Romans 8:28, a familiar passage, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. It does not say all things are good. It says all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And that's an encouragement for me today, and I hope for you too, that wherever you find yourself, whatever situation you find yourself in, if you feel like you're sinking, never forget that God is at work, that God has not abandoned you, and that God will sustain you. Let's read on further. Going back in at verse 9, again, we talked about this fear of man and fear of the Lord, and he continues to walk with this a little bit further. He says, O fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you, listen to this, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? It's going to hurt a little bit. Verse 13, keep your tongue from evil. Keep your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. This has been a verse now that's been very near and dear to me, but the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So my third point this morning that I'd like us to note is this, is that testimony is the overflow of a grateful heart. Testimony is the overflow of a grateful heart. You see, David, he's sharing wisdom that he gained from experience. Those who fear the Lord lack no good thing. Again, David had to walk places and do things that we don't have to. We can criticize or say, well, if I had been there, I would have done this or that. But David did those. And while he made those mistakes, and some of them horrific mistakes, he still learned and he still came back and trusted the Lord and allowed God to show him. He still knew that he needed the Lord. And in verse 9, he leans in hard here. And he leans in hard to having what? The right attitude. The right attitude. But the right attitude, listen to me now, the right attitude is great, but that right attitude, it must lead to action. It must lead to action. It should be this, as it said, the overflow, right? It's the overflow of what is in the heart. In verse 13, keep your tongue from evil. Keep your lips from speaking deceit. It's speaking things that are true and things that are right. Verse 14, turn away from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. Again, we have to see this separation from doing things wrong or doing things evil and to move towards what is right and what is holy. You see, genuine thanksgiving, it doesn't have to be manufactured. It's naturally what flows outward from what is in our heart. And from that place of thanksgiving, we invite others to know and to trust and to follow God. I want to encourage us this morning and to do an inventory, to ask, what are people seeing in me? Do I live a life? Again, it doesn't mean that you don't go through trial or struggle or have bad days, but overall, are they seeing this heart, this attitude of thanksgiving to the Lord? See, a grateful life is a missional life where testimony flows from the well of thanksgiving. It starts with thanksgiving. Since Josh isn't here today, I'll use him as an example. I'll use him as an example if they're here too, but my 12-year-old son. And it hit me the other day, actually this week, in preparation for this, and we've had some moments. I'm sure none of you have had those with your kids, but with our kid, he has this way of dialing in on the one thing, you know, like 100 things can go right in the day, but that one thing, big or small. And so we were at the table, and he's it's funny because we kind of joke around. He's like, well, it was good, but I have this one thing. And I was like, so I said, you know what? I said, tell you what, you can tell me your one thing, but first give me three things that you enjoyed or that was good today. He's like, okay, did it. He listened around. He's like, now let me get to that other thing. But just trying to like, how do we pause? And honestly, I think we're all probably equally guilty if we don't watch ourselves. But I want to encourage us, you know, because we can. It's our nature. We dial in on the one thing, don't we? Well, this was good, but that, no. But I want to encourage you, spend time, sit in a moment, or if you're just kind of in a funk, you know, in your walk with God, like, just pause and just think for a minute. God, what can I thank God for today, right? And watch what happens. And while I can't say I love this, but it is the reminder because, you know, in verse 15, he's talking about the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry, which is like, yes, right? If we're walking right with the Lord and we're being obedient and we're doing things the right way, then God's, I mean, it's this posture, right? His eyes are toward us, his ears are toward us, listening and hearing our cry. But then it comes back in verse 17, and he says, but, you know, kind of to be clear, but when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. And this might be one of the biggest and greatest disservices to new when we lead someone to the Lord or we're sharing our testimonies. We have to make sure they understand that saying yes to Jesus doesn't just make everything bad go away in this world. Right? And maybe some of us, even when we came to the Lord, we kind of had this, because we kind of felt like, hey, all you do is say this prayer and it just all gets, it's all going to be okay, right? And all of us, experienced that, right? It just all went fine. Life is perfect now. It is not. It is not, right? It's not perfect. In fact, when you say yes to Jesus, oftentimes you're probably going to go into some harder places and some darker places, and you're going to be challenged, and you're going to face things that if you had just gone the way of the world, it probably would be easier. In one sense, it's just not going to end up the best way for you. And so David is reminding this, and then in verse 18, but he said, you know, you're going to have trouble. You're going to deal with things. You're going to face challenges, and life will not go smooth all the time, but the Lord is near to you when you're brokenhearted. And I love that he saves the crushed in spirit. And I wonder how many here today, within the sound of my voice or online even, how many you just feel crushed? Just feel like everything is just squeezing down on you. But praise God, and this is why we have to go to the Word of God, because we have to be reminded that God is, the Lord is close to us. And what that means is when he's close to us, that means he's close enough to just reach down and he can pull us up. He can save us. And I am thankful that we serve a God who is personal. I am thankful that we serve not a God who's far off while he is, and he is expansive over everything, but he's also the same sweet spirit, the same Lord, the same friend, the same brother, the same spirit that is right now with you and with me. And that is beautiful. So praise is the posture of the grateful. Trust is the fruit of thankfulness. And testimony is the overflow of a grateful heart. And as we prepare to close this morning, I want to give you really can put your teeth into just things like how do I do this, Pastor Dow? How do I shift gears? Help me. And so let me help you, and as God has helped me, and we can all help each other. And so as I said earlier, you know, praying these Psalms of Thanksgiving, going to the Word of God, it should result in living a life of Thanksgiving. And so one way is simply, I've kind of said it a few times, but just to say it very clearly, is we need to develop a habit of daily praise. Develop a habit of daily praise. Perhaps you begin and end each day by naming at least one thing you're thankful for. All right? Great way to start the day. Great way to end the day. Just simply like, Lord, I'm thankful for this. All right? And we can also praise God in difficult seasons as a declaration of faith. It's not just in moments of ease, right? It's easy to praise God when the sun is shining, when the skies are clear and blue and everything just seems to be good. And that's something that, you know, I've shared this with my wife and in the season that we're in there. Through it all, and even from the beginning after we lost Levi, like I did not feel it, but I knew I'm going to praise the Lord regardless, because I know God is good. I know he's with me, and so I'm going to do it. And as I did, I saw, you know, this, it sustained me. And then the amazing part is listen, the testimony, and in this season, I don't want to say I don't care about others, but I'm just trying to get through the day and the moment. And God, I'm going to praise you. And then somebody, I'll be talking to somebody like, you know, I know what you're going through, but man, the way that you worship the Lord and that you're still holding on to your faith, it's just such a testimony. And I'm not thinking of it in that light, but that's what's happening. Remember, we talked about how we live out, especially when we're in trial, when we're in the struggle. People are watching. So develop a habit of daily praise. Number two, taste and see God's goodness daily. Reflect on past moments of God's faithfulness. One suggestion is to keep a gratitude journal, right? Keep a gratitude journal. Maybe you have a regular journal, but maybe just fill one up with just praises. right? And when you can't think of it and you're having a hard time, maybe go back to that gratitude journal and watch how quickly those things stack up over time. Step into trust by surrendering specific worries or burdens to Him each day. And the third one is simply to share your story of God's goodness. Thanksgiving becomes complete when we testify of what God has done through both word and action. Share your story. Not just your story, but God's story of how He saved you, of how He has sustained you. It's beautiful. And it matters. And you'd be surprised because there are other people that are walking that same path and struggling, and you can share and give glory to God. Share your gratitude with family and friends this week. Tell someone how God has answered a prayer or provided for you, or even go as far as to serve someone else where you stand to gain nothing. That's actually entertainment for me. I'll just help somebody. I'll just be kind or do something, and you're watching them. They're like, you know, like, why are you being nice? That's the state of our world, unfortunately. And they're like, what do you want? It's like, nothing. God bless you. You know? You see somebody struggling? Hold the door for somebody. Help somebody. Have eyes to see. It's very simple. And watch what you do and watch how God uses that. So my final thought this morning, Psalm 34 teaches us that praise, trust, and testimony are marks of a heart filled with thanksgiving. As we taste and see God's goodness, may our lives reflect continual gratitude that points others to Christ, and may we pray in a way that is not based on where we are, but instead on where God has brought us from. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You, Lord, for this morning. God, I thank You for this message of the reminder for us to be thankful, Lord, and to have gratitude in our hearts. God, regardless of where we find ourselves in life this morning, God, we trust and know that You are present with us. We know, God, that You are sustaining us, even when we can't necessarily see it or feel it. But God, we know that You are at work, and God, we can look back and we can see, Lord, that You have sustained us, that You have been faithful, God, and You will not abandon us or forsake us. God, I pray for my brother or sister this morning here in this place that is in a battle, is in the depths of hurting or sorrow or whatever it is. And God, as we were reminded in this passage today, that You draw close to the brokenhearted. And so those, Lord, in this place today who are hurting, God, I pray that You would just move in and do what only You can do, Lord God, and just minister to the depths of their soul. God, that they would just rest and they would sit and they would know, they would taste and they would see that You are God. God, we love You. We praise You, Lord, for who You are. And God, we thank You, Lord, for nothing else, Lord God, that You saved us from our sin. You saved us from an eternity of separation from You. And God, for that and that alone, we can be truly grateful this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.